What's up, guys? It's your boy, Johnny Bananas, and I'll be covering all the treachery, deceit, backstabbing, and murder from Season 2 of The Traitors US on my podcast, Death, Taxes, and Bananas. I'll be joined all season by my fellow castmates to swap stories, provide all the behind-the-scenes antics, and sordid details from filming. So sally forth and join me for Season 2 of The Traitors every Saturday on the Ringer Reality TV podcast feed.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm David Jacoby.
We're putting 30 minutes on the clock.
Yes.
Here we go.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about tomatoes.
Okay.
A new genetically modified tomato is available. It's purple. It looks like a blueberry crossed with a cherry
deep
tomato.
Purple.
It's a deep purple.
Deep purple.
It's not like lilac. It's like heartbeat purple. I don't know why I said that.
What?
Sometimes like when the blue of your blood is with the red of the heart, like in pictures, it's like purple.
Heartbeat purple.
I know. I'm just trying to justify it. Didn't
okay.
make sense.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Great job.
Thank you so much. It is, like I said, genetically modified, mm-hmm. but like in a good way. It's a disease-fighting tomato.
Yes.
And it is specifically supposed to... just the picture of the woman with her produce is so funny. It made me laugh. Anyway, it is a superfood, and it's supposed to be help with like cancer and inflammation, much like blueberries, to be honest.
Yes. It's interesting to me. This article was a lot about the health benefits of this particular purple tomato, but I really thought that the coolest part was it was purple. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, of the 2000 word article, it's like 1800 are about the what it does for your body and blah, 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 blah. But I really like this part. The nightshade is purple because its creators at Norfolk Plant Sciences worked for about 20 years to hack color genes from a snapdragon flower into the plant. 20 years of your life making a purple tomato?
Her name is Kathy Martin.
She's a
biochemist. I think this is pretty cool. She invented a new plant.
Okay, but she started in like 2003.
Yeah, science doesn't happen overnight.
I guess not. It's a lot of nights.
It's like really cool. I assume she was like also doing other stuff. I don't think so. She was only doing purple tomatoes.
Okay, good.
But I do think this is really cool. And she looks really happy in this picture, which you can see on NPR. And like, I'm just really happy for her. She like achieved something huge.
She did it. This is her Peabody. Like this is her
beyond.
Yeah. This is like her.
No one else has done
her
this.
Opus.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is her thing.
Magnum opus.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. I just think it's like really cool. She did it to have more anthocyanins in tomatoes.
So. Yes, which apparently are good for you.
It's great, Kathy.
So when I saw it, I thought it was just like, oh, add some purple dye to a tomato to make salads look cool, which is kind of like the vibes that I got.
That's happening as well.
Yeah, but I because you know color always matters. Like when you're cooking, and these things really pop, and I think they'd be like a really good additive to like an expensive restaurant or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I did like the fact that they also, help you, do stuff.
One thing this makes me want to learn about is like crossbreeding of fruits, because like, why was this so hard? Whereas the making of pluot seems to be something that happens on any farm in the summer.
Yeah. And they also, someone made a pink colored pineapple, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I was like, oh, look at you guys.
It's like pink lemonade, but pink pineapple.
Yeah. We should do more of this.
I just don't really understand how it happens. Like, how did we get here? Like, how did the pluot happen so easily? I just need to understand crossbreeding.
Oh, I mean, first of all, I could happily mansplain that, but we can just skip that part of the podcast.
Okay, great. Would it be mansplaining based on information or
no? Just on me reading this article, and it's something to do with like the bacteria from one goes into the other. I don't know.
All right, we'll talk to a farmer one day.
Okay,
let's move on.
Is dual say available?
This is an article from the New York Times that I really enjoyed. The headline is, why is Tex-Mex the MVP on the Super Bowl menu?
It's one of those things that's right in front of your face all the time, but until you like read it, you're like, oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, totally. Like seven-layer dip and chili and all that. And in trying to explain this, there were some just like simply wonderful facts in this article that I fucking loved. Like Fritos were most likely invented in the 1930s by Gustavo Olguin, who placed an advertisement in the San Antonio Express hoping to sell his corn chip business. Someone bought his business, Charles Elmer Doolin, for $100 in 1932.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Nachos were invented by a man named Ignacio. And Nacho is a common nickname for Ignacio. I know that.
Yes.
Because Prince Harry has a friend named Nacho whose real name is Ignacio.
Okay.
That was in the 1940s.
But this is why I loved it. This is my favorite part of the whole article. Hold on a second. Here we go. When he baked tortilla chips with cheese and topped it with jalapenos for some women who asked for food as the restaurant was closing. What a gentleman.
Loved it.
The restaurant were closing. This table of ladies were like, Ignacio, we're still hungry.
So that's the original nachos, which honestly I never actually thought were from Mexico. And I'm kind of like glad to know that they are like true nachos are from Mexico. American nachos with like the goopy nacho cheese that you get in the movies were popularized by Frank Liberto, who served them for the first time at a Texas Rangers baseball game in 1976. It's all happening in Texas.
It is happening. It's all Tex-Mex, as the headline says. And another thing, have you ever had a Frito pie?
I have.
They're good.
They're
right?
Really good.
They're really good. And when you hear about the origin story of Frito pie, it makes so much sense. It actually happened at Texas High School football, think Friday Night Lights, and they wrote, concession stands already sold hot dogs, so they had chili, jalapenos, onions, and cheese toppings for hot dogs. So what they did is they also sold Fritos, and someone said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open up this bag of Fritos and put in all the hot dog toppings, mix it up, and call it a walking taco.
So good.
It seems like that also was right in front of their face right there the whole time.
It's just like so many good facts in this article. Shout out to Christina Morales, because I really enjoyed this one.
I think what throws people off is the number one food we associate with the Super Bowl spread is what?
Wings?
Yes. And though that is not a Tex-Mex dish. But if you start going to like guac, dip, seven-layer dip, nachos, chili, like they might not have the number one pick in the draft, but Tex-Mex has at least 5 of the next 10 selections for your Super Bowl spread.
It really is interesting. I will say, I don't feel the article truly answered the headline question of like why this became the Super Bowl food.
Yeah, listen, but nothing's perfect, but it gave us the origin story of nachos and Frito pies.
It had a lot of great facts. I
love the fact that it was a table of women. That the fact that they were women, it didn't just say like a table of guests. It was
good hospitality.
Yeah, it was just like ladies' night out, and they didn't want to go home.
Great stuff. All right, let's move on to like some of your favorite content in a long time.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Sofia Vergara is an excellent blind taste tester of coffee.
That's like being like Michael Jordan is a good basketball player. Sofia Vergara is not only one of the most likable celebrities I could ever think of. Like, I think that her Q score is so high. Everyone likes Sofia Vergara, right?
Sure.
She's so cute, and her accent has a lot to do with that. And who knew that she can not only just if you put a cup of coffee in front of her, she will tell you what type of bean and the type of brewing, and we have a sample just for you.
We sure do. Okay, I'm going to play it.
Bienvenidos, I'm Sofia Vergara, and something that you might not know about me is that I love coffee. In fact, I appreciate it so much that I've developed a skill where I can identify a variety of coffees and even tell you how they were brewed. I don't know, these might have been made the old traditional way with a sock or maybe a Keurig?
A sock or a Keurig. It was a Keurig.
And it's like, and it was made by a Keurig or however you call it. Because I don't think anyone's confidently said that word.
Definitely not. I say Keurig, but
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
No one's ever said it correctly. No one's ever said it wrong.
It's a real indictment of Keurig that's either sock or Keurig.
Yeah. Well, it's also like Le Pain Quotidien, that place. It's like, rename yourself.
Le Pain Quotidien.
Yeah. Just like rename yourself like the bread store or whatever. Daily Bread.
Daily Bread. That's what it is. But I was saying Keurig or sock. I'm like, is that how bad a Keurig tastes that you think it's made it through a sock?
I think my guess is that was a call back to her childhood days in which they use a sock to filter out the coffee.
Oh, do you know that she did that?
No, I have no idea. That was a total guess based on the context.
Oh, interesting. I thought that she was insulting Keurig because like coffee snobs are really anti-Keurig.
Oh, no, because she said the traditional way with a sock, which made me think of like an 8-year-old Sofia Vergara.
Like just like holding a sock, like a letting sock it drip. Yeah,
coffee beans, sort of like seeping it
instead
in tea,
of a filter. Kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the pour over.
Yeah.
She got it right. She got all of them right.
All of them right. Do you think that was careful editing or do you think she like really nailed all those?
Maybe there were some she got wrong and they only showed the ones she got right.
Yeah.
But she definitely.
5 for 5.
Was really that we saw 5 for 5 that we know of.
And it was impressive.
It was. It really was. She seems to feel really positively about Nespresso, which a lot of people do. Common opinion. How are you enjoying it in your home?
I have not dabbled yet. As you know, I leave the home very early in the morning before Nespresso is really an option. But my wife is enjoying it every day.
Oh, that's great news. I just want to note, it could be an option for you. That's the point. You just hit a button. It's ready.
It's 4 in the morning. I'm not spending extra time at the home. I'm always late.
Okay. Moving on, an Italian airport will have a working vineyard on the roof. And to this I say, what took so long?
Whoa! Whoa! Julia, always surprising. That's your take. What took so long to put vineyards on the roof?
It's just so Italian. I get it. It's like, yeah, this makes sense. It's also, it's the Florence airport, which I've been to, actually. It's a small airport.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did say that. So here's what really struck me about this project, right? Let's say you're going to put a vineyard on the roof of an airport. What really struck me about this project was, according to a press release, the vineyard will include 38 rows of grapevines planted in concrete pots. Totally understand. It will cover a total area of 19 acres.
That's a lot.
19 acres?
That's a lot.
19 acres?
Yeah.
How big is this airport?
Also, concrete pots, that sounds really heavy. Is that going to like withstand on the roof?
I that's the other thing I was thinking about. It's like, where did the roots go? Like, it seems like a lot. I feel like they should just keep the vineyards on the ground. Why put them on the roof? Put solar panels on the roof.
I like it. I wonder if there is like an environmental benefit where it like helps you. I don't know. Like there's like some kind of like power from it, like a greenhouse type of thing.
I don't think these, this vineyard is generating power. I don't think that
they're generating clicks.
I think it's generating clicks. But I would like it. I don't know if this wasn't clear from the article. Can you sort of like go up there and walk around and enjoy the vineyard while you're waiting for your flight? It seems like it's just up there making
wine.
It's
just for show.
It seems, but who can see it? The people in the planes?
I just feel like this is like, as you land, you can see it.
I guess.
As you approach. I do feel like this is like the kind of thing where I'm like, it's so Italian, of course. Like, just use all of the land.
Is it that Italian?
I don't know.
It doesn't sound Italian to me.
I mean, they're really into wine there.
They do like wine there.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, how about you put the vineyard on the ground and put the solar panels on the roof?
Well, I was wondering if like this comes with some kind of solar panel or something.
I don't think so.
I don't
really
know.
I want these plants to generate power. I don't think that's how plants work, Juliet.
Well, they do generate oxygen.
Yeah, yes. Yes. So there's that side benefit. Yes.
So they are contributing something. It's not a net negative, but.
No, and wine too. Don't forget that part.
Of course. For people who like to drink wine, that's huge.
Yes.
I'm not one of them. So I like overlooked that fact, you know?
I don't really like wine either.
Let's move on to our heist of the week. Jacoby, I kick it over to you.
Okay. This was interesting, this heist in particular. It is a simple middle of the night, 3 in the morning, we're going to break into a liquor store, okay? But what happens is these men really took this break in serious. It's two men who are in their 50s, which I think is like past your prime.
Past your heist prime. Can't run away fast enough.
Yeah, it's also just kind of like, guys, like you should be doing something else with your time. You're in your 20s. I get it. So these guys are in their 50s. And here's a couple things that they did, which I found to be way over the top. Number one, black ski masks, black shirts, black gloves.
All black everything.
All black everything. Number two, they blacked out local other businesses' security cameras. So they took it. So they're wearing black ski masks. They're in a van without license plates. They're very concerned about getting ID'd, right? So then they also put, I guess, like black pieces of paper over the local security cameras. But I'm sure someone can see them walking up to the security camera to do this. I don't know how this all works, right?
Well, maybe it's, you know, you wear the mask to cover the camera.
Yeah. That was the part where I was like, okay, guys. And then they cut open the metal door, broke through the glass to get in the place. And then what they did is they went straight to the expensive top shelf stuff. For example, there's a bottle of whiskey that was valued at approximately $22,000, another bottle of whiskey valued at $3,000, and two bottles of cognac that were valued at $5,000. The $20,000 bottle was a 1990 Macallan Scotch. There's no bottle of scotch that's worth $1,000, let alone $20,000. So, like, that's just ridiculous.
I don't understand how any of this, like, is really profitable. If you were a heister, a heistman, what would you steal? Like, where do you feel like you get the most bang for your buck?
I'm going to a bank.
You're taking cash.
Yeah, taking the cash. I don't need to then sell it in the black market.
Well, of the food heist we covered, which one do you think is like good idea? That was a smart thing to steal.
Oh, that's a great question.
Because very often I just don't understand the financials.
Yeah, or like someone who gets like a trailer full of crab legs. It's like, well, what do you do with the crab legs?
Like where? Yeah, like what is the secondary black market for this? Or is it like for smuggling shit? Like I just don't get it because this is in the Sacramento area.
Yeah.
So like, are people really that desperate for black market booze? Are they selling it to teenagers?
I think you go online. I think the only way you can sell a $20,000 bottle of scotch is for sell it for $15,000 online. Hmm. That's the only, and like get a Bitcoin payment. That's the only thing that makes any sense.
So you've gotten it for $0.
Yeah. And then you sell it because there's a market for it.
Discount.
Yeah. So you're selling it at 15. Like that's the only thing that makes any sense, which is a nice haul.
But
for
it's
these
like
two.
A huge risk. Is it worth risking going to jail to get a bottle of wine for $15,000. I'm not trying to turn my nose up at $15,000.
No.
It just seems like other ways to make it that are less risky.
Yeah, and I think there's other things to steal as well.
Like cash.
Like cash and jewelry.
Jewelry, good one.
Jewelry is a great one.
But I'm like, this is like a supermarket sweep of heists. Like, what is the equivalent of like
the goose,
the beef aisle, of the cheese aisle, of holding the button,
the turkey
for coffee?
Yeah.
Like, what is really worth it? I don't know. We're gonna have to think about that. Maybe we'll do a follow up next week.
Yeah, and so these people. One of my favorite details about this is the guy whose liquor store it was said that they broke the glass. They broke the glass container that was holding and displaying all these high-end bottles. And he's like, it was unlocked. That's my favorite part. So these two guys in their ski masks and gloves, they walked up to an unlocked glass container and broke the glass and took the bottles out.
No need for that.
Yeah. And so this is how they were taken down. Obviously, you know, the security cameras didn't have them. No one could ID them because of their ski masks. And, you know, probably a little bit loud. They had a white minivan with no license plates on it. And someone driving by at 3 a.m. I mean, I can't imagine there's a lot of like traffic in suburban Sacramento at 3 a.m.
Agreed.
Someone driving by saw them like literally stealing the liquor. I mean, very, very bad timing for these two fellas. So like someone saw them stealing the liquor and putting it in the back of the van. And then this person, this Samaritan, decided to call the police. So some police came to investigate the scene. And then another deputy who was en route saw these guys in their van driving the other way. Now it gets a little dark.
Okay.
In the chase, they got into like a really bad accident.
Yeah.
And they suffered serious injuries, were transported to the hospital where they're being held until they can recover from their injuries and be booked into jail. So these guys made a lot of mistakes.
Well, it's just all bad.
They made a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. And I just feel like if you're going to steal $55,000 worth of booze and not do it on a whim, it's like a very much a premeditated thing. I just feel like they could do better.
I agree. And this brings me back to I'm ready to answer my own question.
Oh, great.
My favorite like food scam, food heist, food crime that we've covered, I think, is the candy boxes, the candies from China. And the candy that went missing in the truck.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that has a high margin. And like, it seems like you could really like blend into society pretty well.
And it really like uncovered just how sort of
this whole
like
ring.
House of Cards transporting goods is. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's like these middlemen that you've never met before who are basically like, take your order and then just like put it online to a message board and then connect you with someone who's going to fulfill the order.
Yeah, I feel good about that one. I'm like, that's the one that I'm like, you know what? That seems like worth it. Seems like worth it to put the time in.
Yeah, but don't forget the guy who called in the heist was the one who did the heist in the first place.
Yeah, I know. So he's, you know, we're playing checkers. He's playing chess.
Yes, exactly.
Food heist chess.
Yeah, he's a chess master of food heists.
All right, let's move on to a really fun story via the New York Post about a place called Ninja Ramen in Houston, Texas. It's a ramen bar that is struggling. And so they are doing several things to help their business. One is to have really punchy social media, which is sort of the heart of this. And there's like a 5-step plan. Step 5 is to start a only nudes ramen account on OnlyFans. And it would be of people sending in pictures of themselves eating the ramen from Ramen Ninja.
Ninja Ramen.
I think Ramen Ninja is a better name, but that's fine. And they would only post them with permission. So like also if you're sending it,
I saw a couple of the pictures. I went to look at the OnlyFans site, but I don't have an OnlyFans account.
I'm about to say, I didn't even try.
So I pushed like, cause it's free. I was like, oh, it's free. So I'll click on it. And then it says like, you know, create an account. And I was like, I don't know. This seems like a bad idea.
Definitely a bad idea.
I was like, this seems like it could get me like divorced. You know, I was like, let me not create an OnlyFans account because I can see myself 6 months from now trying to explain to my wife that I did it for food news because a ramen place had an OnlyFans.
Don't implicate me in this.
Yeah. And then she'd just be like, what? And she's like, I'm double divorcing you now. So I didn't get to look at it, but I saw one of the examples and it was someone sort of like showing their cleavage next to the, so I think you're supposed to take sort of racy photos.
Yeah.
There's no nudity because it's, you know, obviously a ramen place. But when I watched the video from the local news, shout to Coco Dominguez, the local reporter who visited and did the whole interview with the owner, something stood out to me about the way he was explaining the business. They started in 2015, I believe, somewhere around there. And the pandemic hit and they made it through the pandemic, but you know, the economy's slow, so people aren't coming to the shop. They have a 4-item menu. Mm. And one of the items is a ramen without broth, and one is a ramen, and the other two are like apps. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, maybe before you start expanding the social media repertoire,
the menu,
you could offer 2 or 3 types of ramen at your place that has ramen in the title.
Yeah, like maybe get rid of the apps and just do ramen.
Or just have like, you know, we've all been to ramen places. They usually have like a chicken one and a pork one and a vegetable one and a spicy one.
I love ramen.
How hard is it for them to do this?
Great point. I also am just wondering if perhaps the owner like just wanted to post a picture of himself in his underwear eating ramen because they did put that on the Ninja Ramen Instagram. And I was like, who is this serving here?
Yeah, he seemed like, I don't know if I would hire him to run my ramen shop.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I wish them the best over at Ninja Ramen.
I like this story though. And Coco Dominguez, we thank you for your service.
Yeah, it was a great job by her.
All righty. Let's get into our taste test.
Oh, it's taste test time already?
Yeah, man.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Taste test today is courtesy of David Jacoby. Yep. I gave him a hard time. Wasn't sure it would be good, but I think you really came through, man. We're doing a classic. What are we doing?
This is a classic debate. It is the Pepsi versus Coke of the red licorice world. Mm. This is Red Vines versus Twizzlers. And I explained to Juliet as I was explaining this taste test. And what I was explaining to her was everyone has had these two things separately, but never together.
Mm.
And then she responded by saying,
I don't think I've ever had Red Vines.
I find that impossible to believe.
My main association with it is like from the first Lonely Island, Lazy Sunday video where they talk about Mr. Pibb and Red Vines and Natalie Portman.
Oh.
Remember?
No, I only remember the Chronicles of Narnia.
It's in the same one.
Oh, it's a hardcore rap with Natalie Portman. Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, that's a great
one. Chronic, what?
Oh, the Narnia. Yeah.
And they have like a line, Mr. Pibb and Red Vines.
Yeah, that made me absolutely love Natalie Portman.
Yeah, I love Andy Samberg and The Lonely Island. Like, I fucking love their music, their comedy.
They're great at stuff.
Their movies. I mean, Pop Star, Never Stop Popping is so fucking funny.
Never seen that in my life.
And The Lonely Planet music. Oh, my God. I go crazy for
it. On a Boat is a classic.
There's so many that are so good.
I just had sex. I only know. Oh, yeah.
With Akon?
Yeah.
They have a song with Kendrick Lamar.
They do?
Yes.
They're the best.
They really are.
They might be my favorite music act.
Okay, so I haven't had Red Vines, but I did love Twizzlers as a kid. So, and can I tell you what I used to do?
Yeah, of course. Bite at both ends, use it as straw.
Yeah, with Coke.
Yeah.
At the movies. Yeah. So everyone did that.
I think most people do that.
Cool. Well, I loved it. I continue to love Twizzlers.
So Red Vines, I work in production, obviously, and they have this giant tub that is full of Red Vines. And most like productions, when you set up at a location, they have that tub. So I've had tons of Red Vines.
So it's like a craft service kind of thing.
Exactly. We're going to start with Red Vines. And while Juliet's eating, I'm going to read you the blurb on the back of the Red Vines package.
It's really tasty.
Since the 1950s, Red Vines branded candy has been made in California using small batch process and artisanal techniques. Our rich heritage has been built by our dedication to consistent quality and flavor. We hope you love Red Vines candy as much as we do.
Okay. This explains two things to me. First of all, Lonely Island, they're from the Bay Area. It's a California food. So second of all, the flavor is original red, but I would describe it as medicinal cherry.
It is not. The Twizzlers say specifically
strawberry.
Interesting, but great point, Juliet. This is why we're doing this taste test. These aren't apples to apples or strawberry to strawberry.
No, this is original red, aka medicinal cherry or like cough syrup cherry.
No, these happen to be a little bit softer than the Twizzlers.
I like the texture. I like that it's soft. Also,
this is really good.
This would be a way better straw. The opening on the inside is much bigger than what you get with the Twizzler.
I'm also taking the under on using small batch process and artisanal techniques. Like, it's not like a grandma in her basement making the Red Vines. All right, they're bumping these things out by the billions.
The Twizzler. It's very familiar. It has a waxiness to it that I've always liked. But I got to say, flavor-wise, it doesn't hold up next to the Red Vine. I like a Twizzler. I love a Twizzler.
I've always been a Twizzler person.
But this back-to-back.
Now that I have them back-to-back.
Red Vine has way more flavor.
I think the Red Vines are better.
I agree with you, but I prefer a strawberry. So, like, does Red Vine come in strawberry?
I don't know the answer to that question. But I will say, 15 minutes ago, you said Red Vines or Twizzlers, I would have said Twizzlers without thinking a second.
Same.
But now that I've had them back to back, I'm going Red Vines. And I encourage everyone listening to this podcast to do the same thing. It'll cost you about $3.
This is shocking.
This is a real revelation.
It really is. I completely agree with you. As I just told you, Twizzlers are a childhood food for me. But give me a Red Vine that's not medicinal cherry and I am good to go. I liked my experience. I didn't even love the flavor.
This is good.
Wow. I'm going to go on a Red Vine hunt for different flavors now.
I'm really proud of myself.
Jacoby, great job. You really recovered from 2023's worst taste test.
Real Food News listeners know that I was in charge of the debacle that was the like mushroom chocolate.
That was one of the most disgusting things I've ever eaten. Like,
yeah, fig jerky. Yeah, that didn't go great.
This is one of our best taste tests.
Juliet seemed like you were legit mad at me for like 2 days after that.
Well, when you said you were going back to CVS to get taste test stuff, I was really worried. But you crushed it, and I've learned something about myself today.
Well, I've learned something about you. Never had Red Vines, and you have a motto about your candies.
This is not new to you. You've heard me say it.
I know, but I just want to hear it again.
No chocolate, no interest.
No chocolate, no interest.
Yeah, I mean, I like Twizzlers as a straw for drinking my favorite beverage, Diet Coke.
There you go.
And regular Coke. All right, we are now going to get into our personal food news. I go first, as per usual.
Okay.
It is the second week of February, and I've just been craving ice cream this week. That's my personal food news. I've went out for lunch. I work from home this week more than usual. I've gone to the office like pretty consistently for the last 3 months. And this week,
offices are great. Going to work is amazing.
I agree. I love going to the office. I feel like an adult. I'm like, I don't need to feel like I'm in college, like home all the time and like tempted to take a nap at like 1:30 p.m. and resisting.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this week I've been working from home more just because of my schedule. And twice I've gone out for lunch, like midday, or like I went to pick up a Just Salad and then I came to walk here to the studio. And both times I got ice cream. Today I got Pinkberry, a new flavor. They debuted a new flavor.
Oh.
Ubi. It's like a taro flavor. It's delicious. I don't know. I'm just like, I think I'm like mentally ready to like get back into my ice cream zone. Yeah. And
I don't, I'm over winter.
And also, as part of this, there's a place in my neighborhood called Luigi's that has like a lot. It's like a cereal and ice cream bar. We should go there one time. It's fun. Mm. They have a true small. And I got like a small.
True small?
A true small. Great. It's like actually a cup of ice cream, like one cup, like measuring cup. And that's what I'm looking for. It's just like a hit of ice cream in the middle of the day. And like it was really, it was fucking good.
Especially during the day. I feel like after dinner, you can go a little heavier on the ice cream.
After dinner?
Like after lunch, dessert is really just like a little something, something.
Also, if I leave my home, I can then like walk around with my ice cream instead of like at 8:30 p.m. sitting on the couch with a tub of ice cream, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like slightly more healthy or like just feel a little bit better about it. But I don't know. It's February, but I'm back in the ice cream zone and feeling great about it. And I just like love Pinkberry. I'm happy it's still open. I'm happy that I live near one because otherwise I wouldn't be in my life. And I'm really glad it is. I have some
follow-up questions about Pinkberry because I'm a 16 handles tasty D loyalist. That's my sort of like soft serve plus toppings of choice. I've always looked at Pinkberry as like a healthier, more authentic version of that.
But I think it is.
Is that in fact true?
It depends what flavor you get. If you get original or I got Ubi, it's like a lot less sugar. Like you get like cookies and cream or like
chocolate.
Yeah, then it's a lot, it's like basically the same. But if you go for like the original concept, then it is.
So
healthier.
If you get like original and flavor with like strawberries.
Yeah, with like fruit.
It's not like that bad for you. It's not good for you.
But it's not like a bad, super sugary snack. Okay. It's like pretty good. It's really expensive, though. Like, it's $8 for a small.
Ooh.
I know, Pinkberry.
Huh.
But I love it.
Toppings?
Yeah, that includes toppings. So, it's cheaper than Van Leeuwen.
Hmm.
I don't know. I love Pinkberry. Check it out next time you're near one. Your turn.
Okay. I don't cook that much.
Oh.
But when I do, I like to just venture out into new things and, like, find recipes and just kind of give it a shot. And I had my second attempt at stuffed peppers.
Mm, yeah.
And I really like stuffed peppers.
With meat?
Yeah, with meat and tomatoes and onions and peppers and garlic and chopped up and put some rice in there and stuffed the peppers and blanched the peppers and roast the peppers. And I got the peppers and I put the peppers in front of my family. And we all came to the same conclusion.
What's that?
Too peppery. Too much pepper. Mm. The stuff, good. The peppers, too much pepper. So what I learned is I basically made like a good...
The innards.
Yeah, I made a good like
hamburger
ground
helper.
Beef like casserole dish.
Which sounds really good.
But I didn't need the peppers. The peppers were like a sourdough bowl that you just eat a little bit of.
That sounds good though.
It was good, but I felt like it was a failure. Like the whole concept was to make stuffed peppers and I just made like meat goop that tasted pretty good.
I like a charred pepper. So,
like on the grill type of thing. Yeah.
Love that.
All vegetables. We talked about lettuce last week.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Just anything on there.
I know.
Anything on there. Throw it on there.
And this is like classic winter blues, but I'm like really longing for summer. I'm like, grilled vegetables in the backyard would like be so nice right now.
Oh, I just like putting bread on the grill. You know, when you go to a restaurant
and
they like grill your bread and they give it to you? I'm just like, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I'm really just like craving some warmth. All right. You all heard my buzzer go off, so we're out of time this week. Thank you so much to our producer, Mike Wargon. And give us a call, 646-STEW-138.
Enjoy your Super Bowls.